May I speak in the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Well, I don't know about any of you, but I must admit, I have a certain amount of sympathy with the ancient Israelites and their behavior in the Old Testament narrative we've heard this morning. Things of far lesser importance in life than finding oneself stranded in the desert with no water have, on occasion, led me to prayers along the lines of, "Oh, come on, God, I could really do without this right now." One might even go so far as to call it grumbling. Of course, I also have a certain amount of sympathy with Moses. Reading the book of Exodus, one gets the impression that Moses may not have been the easiest person to live with, but he is doing his best to follow God's call and to lead his people according to God's directions. He too must have been worried about the lack of water and what would become of him and all the people and their flocks if they didn't find water soon. The difference between Moses and the rest of the people, of course, is that Moses trusted in God to provide, even if he did do his own bit of grumbling to God about the people complaining about him. Fortunately, God does put up with our grumbling, and God does provide. For Moses and the Israelites, God provided water in the desert. The people didn't perish. The life-giving water and the food that God gave them meant that they were able to survive, to establish themselves as a society, and eventually to enter into the promised land. As Christians, we can appreciate that story of God providing water for the people in the wilderness on at least two levels. First, in its own right and on its own terms, as a story of God's relationship with his people, from which we can draw some important lessons about trusting God, trusting in God's love and God's bountiful provision. And we can also appreciate it as a kind of foreshadowing of something that God would go on to do for us in Jesus. When Jesus meets the Samaritan woman at the well, he tells her that if she had only asked, he would have given her living water. She finds this rather confusing, and that's not surprising. In the societies in which Jesus and the Samaritan woman lived, the term living water was used for water from a spring or in a river or a stream, moving water. And I believe it was also used for freshly collected rainwater. But here they were at a well. Where is this living water to come from? Living water was important in Jewish society because it was used for ritual washing and purification. No wonder the woman was somewhat confused. And if Jesus had access to water, why is he asking her for a drink? But, of course, Jesus isn't talking about physical water. The water he offers is another type of living water. It is life-giving water, but life-giving in a way different from the water that comes from the well. He is speaking of something spiritual, something internal, water that gives not mortal life, but life eternal. Scholars have made different suggestions for what exactly Jesus is talking about when he talks about a spring of water gushing up to eternal life. Some have suggested that it's simply a way of saying eternal life. Personally, I think it's something a bit more than that, something behind eternal life. Given the connection between physical living water and ritual purification, when Jesus offers living water that leads to eternal life, he could be referring to forgiveness and the removal of sin. We might therefore want to connect the water Jesus speaks of here to the water of baptism, in which we are cleansed from sin and reborn into Christ. We know that Jesus himself was baptized by John the Baptist, and that he and his disciples baptized others, so it's not unreasonable to make this connection. But that might not be the entire meaning of what Jesus is saying. The connection between living water and ritual purification may also be leading your thoughts in another direction. It may have you thinking about those stone jars in which water was collected and turned into wine at the wedding at Cana in John chapter 2. John specifically tells us that these jars were the jars used for rites of purification. So the living water that Jesus offers may also be a reference to the heavenly banquet and God's abundant goodness towards us. And this isn't such an out there idea, at least not when we think about it in connection with one of Jesus' most famous sayings from John's Gospel, "I came that they may have life and have it abundantly." Jesus gives life in abundance, enables us to enjoy life in abundance. And this is linked to baptism, in that it is through baptism that we become one with Christ and made ready to join that heavenly banquet. But even this gives us, I think, only a partial answer to the question, what does Jesus mean by water gushing up to eternal life? If we were to look ahead a bit at John chapter 7, verses 37 and 38, we find Jesus again talking about living water. He says, "Let anyone who is thirsty come to me and drink. Whoever believes in me, as Scripture has said, rivers of living water will flow from within them." And then in verse 39, John goes on to explain what Jesus meant, saying, "By this he meant the Spirit, whom those who believed in him were later to receive." So when he is speaking to the woman at the well, it seems likely that the water he offers might also be a reference to the Holy Spirit, who brings eternal life and to whom we have access through baptism. So what is this water leading to eternal life? You could be forgiven for thinking that Jesus might just have given the woman and us a straight answer, really. But if he had done that, that might have been the end of their discussion. She might have said, "Yes, please, I'll have some of that." Or she might not. But as it was, she starts asking questions. She and Jesus engage in a theological conversation. Ultimately, it leads to Jesus revealing to her that he is the Messiah. And in response, she believes. And then she became an apostle, telling the people of her city about Jesus. Jesus also invites us to ask questions, to explore more deeply his teaching, to come to know him as the Messiah, the one in whom there is life. And he offers us a share in that life, springs of living water, water that cleanses from sin, quenches our spiritual thirst, fills us with the Holy Spirit, and nourishes us with God's abundance. And the more we drink of it, the more we can share it with others, telling them about this amazing person, Jesus, who is like no other. Amen.